boop, beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. Ski. Oh, shit. Yet another Tuesday, baby. Back in the building. Well, y'all know what it is, baby. I am Lathe Harlow.
I am Tristan Harlow.
And this is Relative Nonsense. Yeah, baby. Yet another one. I'll tell you what, buddy. I got some shit to get off my chest today. Just got some fun topics, I think. Not necessarily that I've written anything down here. I do have a journal in front of me now so I can stay on task because I am all over the place. You can blame my ADHD.
I mean, I'm looking at your journal. It's completely blank.
Nuh-uh, that's not true. My wife wrote on here.
Oh, okay.
Conversational, yeah. One story at a time, and I love you. Shout out. I love you too, girl. No, but it's another beautiful day. We have not really talked for a week. You've been out of town working, of course, but we ain't really talked for a week because we talk so much before we get in here that it's not that we run out of things to talk about. I just think that we hit a lot of hot topics accidentally. So we're trying something new. We're just trying to see if maybe not having as much conversation. We still call each other, check on each other. Don't get it twisted. Hey, what's up? You doing all right? Cool. Love you. Holler at you later. But we're not getting deep, right? And not having like crazy big topics to talk about. What I need to start doing is writing some things down as the week progresses, because I just feel like there's so much stuff that happened throughout the week. And, you know, I probably can't, I'll hit as many as I can, but you're never going to be able to hit all the topics, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. If you think of anything, just write this shit down. We'll talk about it here.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. My first topic, I just want to bring this up. First off, I thought on the last episode, one of the last episodes that we did where we did the three topics to talk about, thought that was cool. Thought that was cool, and maybe we'll keep something like that going. I don't know how many of y'all listen or wherever y'all are at, but we love you and thank you so much for listening. I think the first thing I want to talk about today, though, is hospitality.
Hospitality. Okay. That's Alrighty.
Yeah. What do you think when you hear the word hospitality?
Honestly, immediately go to hospital, but I know that. Yeah. I don't know.
That's my cousin. Genius.
Genius, bro. My brain don't be working how other people's brain be working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you talking about the hospital. It's a hospitality.
Yeah. Hospitality. Take me to the hospitality.
Hospitality, my friend, is, in my mind, what I think of hospitality, I think of the world's best service, right? So your hospitality is restaurants or hotels. But I think it goes a lot further than that. I think hospitality also goes into sales and all aspects of life, right? Because hospitality is really just, how hospitable can you be? How happy can you be? How energetic to portray positivity to your clients that come up to render your services?
I don't know, dude. I don't know if you could like just pinpoint it down to happiness or this or that. I think hospitality is more of like, how much can you adapt and adjust to fit your client's needs? You know what I'm saying? Is not everybody happy?
Sure. We're all on the same page here.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm just saying like, okay, I work out of town, mm-hmm. Stay in a lot of hotels. I stay in one all the time. Mm-hmm. This one lady, great at hospitality, right? She's always like happy and bubbly. I don't care. I just want to check in. I've got to piss. You know what I mean? I've been driving for 5 hours.
Right.
Whenever you see me every week and you have to ask if I stay here every week, that shit's aggravating.
But that's not good hospitality. So you're missing the point.
But she's like happy and bubbly all the time.
Yes. But hospitality is not just happy and bubbly. What I said is for rendering your guests of the services that you provide, right? If I have somebody who comes in on a weekly basis like you, I'm not going to be like, we sit down and do a podcast every week, dog. When you walk in, I ain't going to be like, hey, you're Tristan, right? I don't think that is a genius plan. That is also not hospitable. I want to feel like family. If I go to a restaurant, I love this restaurant. The next time I go back, I want them to be like, you love the Diet Coke, don't you? Boy, you drink more soda. I got to refill a fountain bag when you come here, baby. Let me go ahead and get you two of them. That is hospitable. Now I come here, I'm like, oh man, when you're here, you're family, right? That's hospitable. I think my topic, like I said, I agree with what you're saying. I think you like hospitality too. You just don't know as much of it.
I'll be honest with you, bro. Like a lot of times, I know it's going to sound like completely dickish and all that. I don't care about you. Like I
me?
No. Like I think that might be a little bit more aggressive than what like I'm actually trying to.
Is that pretty aggressive? I'm glad this table is so long. I felt like I would have got slapped if it wasn't.
No, bro. I'm just saying, like, fucking, I don't know.
You don't care. I get it.
I don't care. I'm very low maintenance when I go out to places anyways. So, like.
Well, then this part's about you. It is a dying breed. Hospitality is not a thing anymore. Yeah. Maybe because people don't care. Because there are mindsets of people who are, I'll get it off Amazon. I don't need to go to a store. I don't need connection. Connection is what brings us all together. It doesn't have to be fam. It doesn't have to be at a restaurant. I'm not saying like, if you don't feel like it's your brother when you go sit down, it's not going to be good. I'm not saying that, but it's going to be better if it is.
Well, I would say, period. Yeah. But I'm saying like most of, like where you really think of hospitality is like service industry, right?
Sales. Sorry, I was away from the mic. Sales is where I think of it the most.
Really?
Yeah, and here's why. But
you've been a salesman, so you're automatically going to go there. I'll be honest with you, bro. Like,
but hold on 1 second. I'm going to let you go back.
Go ahead.
Yes, I've been in sales, and that's why I go to that. But it's not because of my mentality why I go to that. It's because of the customer clientele that I had. Let me not say customer. I don't have customers. I got friends, and soon enough, they turn to family, baby. That's how I sell cars, because I sell cars with hospitality. That is how I sell cars, right? I'm not the, 25, 35, if I could do this, could you do this? I don't play that game, bro. I'm here to make sure that you get a good deal. If you don't get a good deal, please let me help you find somewhere at another dealership that does, where I don't make a commission. I don't make nothing. I just get you the best deal. That started making me a lot of money. But that also started getting people talking who did come, like, what you do for us, Lath, does not get provided at all anymore. And I didn't think anything of it because I'd never been in sales. It was just my approach to everything. I've always been. Now, getting older and being in sales and listening to what they said and opening my eyes to it, right? I see it more and more everywhere I go.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's certain. Also, I think, though, that is like an older generational thing.
Why? Why is it older generational that people should be kind to people and know people?
I'm not saying that people shouldn't be kind to people. I'm saying that people go and they look for that human connection while they're buying things. Like, we had a conversation about this the other day. We went to that little store, Guitar Center or whatever. We went in there. We were looking for some kind of audio cable.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I'm buying it online.
Right.
You want to go to the store? I mean, we needed it on a tight time frame. So we did have to go buy it in the store because we kind of needed it that day. But, like, you want to go in there and you would talk to the guys, he wants to provide information. Me, I don't do that. If I want to buy something, I already research and know what I want to buy beforehand anyways. I don't want to talk to you. Because honestly, I already know everything I need to know. I want to get the product and leave. I don't want to hear about how your weekend was, what you're doing today. None of your fucking business, bro. Just put the shit in the bag. Put the fries in the fucking bag. Give my shit. I want to go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about the interaction, to be honest.
What if you're sitting down at a restaurant and you're eating? And then at that restaurant, when you're sitting down and eating, your server and... Just an example, mm-hmm. right? Because I will talk about a topic about this subject and why I thought about this in the beginning. But your server is a complete piece of shit, right? I want water. Thank you. So she brings out sweet tea. Awesome. Can I get ranch with those fries? Yeah, no problem. Here's some ketchup. Oh, I don't eat. I'm actually allergic to, cheese, right?
Right.
Perfect. Pepper jack? What? Okay, I get it. When I'm going to buy something from a store, a cable that I know about, I don't care about your interaction. But when I have to be placed around you, and it's not where you can just, unless you want to sit in your house and do nothing all day, you will come in contact with people because you have to do business with said people. Those people are becoming less and less hospitable. What I wanted to talk about hospitality, it's not only something that is dying, but it's dying because the people don't care about it anymore, and the people that do still get affected by the people that don't. I know. What are you talking about? I went to a restaurant, sat down, had the coolest server. She was so nice. She knew everything we wanted. This was the first time we ever been here. And like, hey, I want a drink. My drink is halfway low. There's already another drink on the table. You know what I mean? Can we get this? I know this is a special request. Can I do this? Dun, 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 dun. We get some mac and cheese. Okay. My wife wanted that as a side instead of fries. So our food comes out. The mac and cheese doesn't come out. They said, oh, they're still making it. It's almost done. It's about to come out. No problem. The mac and cheese comes out. The mac and cheese is freezing cold and doesn't taste right. It's like, you know, the cheese, like mac and cheese is like a soft cheese, but you know, when you cook it too long, it's gritty.
Right.
So it's that taste and it's cold. So she goes, oh, well, I don't want this. So the server isn't even left yet. And we're like, hey, we'll just switch back to fries. And she goes, okay, no problem at all. So we don't hear from her for a couple of minutes, not thinking nothing about it. And she comes back out and goes, my manager wants to bring it to you guys. And she looks nervous. So I'm thinking that in her mind, she thinks she's done something wrong. And she says, good luck. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard somebody say when their manager is coming is good luck. So I'm thinking he's going to try and, you know, provoke something to say that she did something wrong. And we're here to say she's been absolutely perfect. The mac and cheese was just a little cold. No. This guy comes out to grab the mac and cheese or to talk to us and goes, what's wrong with your mac and cheese? You already sent it back. And we said, no, we never sent it back. It didn't come when our food came. They said that it was almost done. And then they brought it out and the mac and cheese was cold. This guy said, oh, I already had one of my cooks temp test it before we sent it out to you. It was 130 degrees internal. Okay, so we're making medium rare mac and cheese. I don't know what exactly we're talking about here about internal temperature. I know one thing though, right? If somebody's mouth thinks it's cold, it's cold. We're not trying to get anything out of you. We literally just wanted fries. Everything was perfect. This guy was an absolute asshole for no reason. Right. 99.9% of people right then would have gave that lady a $0 tip. Had nothing to do with her. She did nothing wrong. She was absolutely perfect. But that manager ruined a whole entire meal. And that is what I mean by hospitality. It's ruining everything. And I understand I don't care if I'm just buying a cable. Sure. The people that have to do it because they don't have other opportunities are getting screwed by the people who don't care about it.
Okay. But see, you say they don't have other opportunities. I don't agree with that.
What do you mean?
Everybody can do anything they want to in this day and age. If you don't strive to do something better, that's on you.
What if they love what they do?
Then that's the risk that you take.
Having somebody who's just a piece of shit and not hospitable at all?
Yep.
But if hospitality was a thing that more people cared about, it wouldn't have been a thing.
Yeah, you can argue that in anything. I love doing line work. It's super dangerous. But if everybody was really safe and done everything they were supposed to every time, then there would be a lot less accidents. But fact of reality, that's not the case, right? So that's the risk that I take to do something that I love.
I understand. Great point. So you're telling me that more people and more people are dying in line work because they're not paying attention more and more. Line work is getting more dangerous and people are getting dumber in line work?
No, line work's not getting more dangerous. I feel like
it's not getting more dangerous.
It's the same.
But people are getting less hospitable. What I mean is that line work was just as dangerous before people did line work.
Right. If anything, it's safer today. There's so much more technology and everything else.
Exactly. But for the people who love to do shit that's hospitable, it's not safer. It hasn't got better. It's gotten worse. While everything else in America, point blank period, has been on the rise, including obesity. Look at me.
Right. Hospitality, I don't mean by like the BC department.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, I agree with your point. No, but hospitality has been the one thing that has went the other way as fast as humanly possible. I understand. A lot of people don't care about it. I fucking do. And I think a lot more people than people who don't care about it think do as well. And I don't think, like I said, I mean,
I get it, bro. If I had a manager, he gonna come and be a dickhead, I'm gonna be a dickhead back. You wanna get active, let's get active. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? But like the point of it is like, you know, I understand what you're saying. A lot of people would have walked out and not get the server anything, even though it wasn't her fault. She 100%. Was out of her control. That's a risk you take whenever your compensation to pay your family is based on how other people think about you and their experience. That's on you.
But
if you don't like it, find something else.
But anytime you're part of a commission job, that's how that works.
I'm not required to tip you.
No, okay, I'm not saying that you're required to tip me. But to your point, everybody who goes to a restaurant, when they sit down, they don't go, I'm not required to tip you. No, they go, if you do a good job, I'm going to tip you. And if not, then don't go to a restaurant.
Everywhere else in the world does not.
Okay, but this ain't everywhere else in the world.
Exactly. So maybe we are the issue.
You think
maybe
so?
We need to change.
You think that taking more care of people is the problem?
Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely.
What if they're trying to help themselves? Because I know where you're trying to go with this, but that's not what we're talking about.
How are they trying to help themselves?
Because they're trying to work. They're just at an establishment or in an industry in general that no longer gives a fuck about how they actually make that money.
Do something else.
What if that's what they love? Is what I keep coming back to that. What if that's what they love? Then too fucking bad? That's stupid. That's a dumb mentality. I'll tell you what. The people with the best hospitality.
Okay, jump in.
The businesses with the best hospitality, I'm willing to bet dollar for dollar. I'll put my whole bank account up with yours. Make more fucking profit and have more reliable customers that'll never leave them because of it.
So you
think, want to go to a statistic of that?
You think the top like performing companies in the world, right? You think they're super nice and they care about people? They don't.
I think it's they portray dollar. That.
They anybody can portray that.
What I'm saying is
going to come out there and be like, "Fuck our customers." You know what I mean?
But that is how people are acting nowadays. It's not the business itself. It is the people in the business. It's the hospitality of the business.
You had a bad experience with the manager, right?
This is not one time for anything. Once again, I'm in sales. I heard this from sales. I've been a part of bad crews in sales who make even when you try to be the most positive, still things go horribly wrong and it looks like it's your fault because you're selling broken cars. Sorry, sir. I'm not a mechanic, but that doesn't matter in that point. I should have known better, right? I'm not here to make excuses. That's on me. This is also how I put fucking steak on the table is my hospitality. It also bases how my manager's hospitality is too. I get you talking about like if I'm a customer and the guy's being a dick, we can go throw bows. No, fuck that. If I'm the salesman and my manager's being a dick to my customer who is about to put food on my table for me and he blows my car deal out, I'm going to whoop that fucking manager's ass because he ain't got the hospitality he needs to be in my business. Yes, I think hospitality rules a lot. I do want to say about that story I told you. The guy tried to comp our meal because he knew it was an asshole. Never said sorry, just brought the wrong fries back and then slammed the check down on the table with her whole meal comped because of it. So I just made up in tip plus the tip what I was going to give her. She ended up with a $40 tip on a $20 meal. Holla at you, boy. You ain't going to get one over on me, and I'm not going to screw a server who did nothing either. But most people aren't going to think about that in any sense of the matter, not just restaurants, anything, bro. It goes a lot deeper than you think.
I mean, I will be completely honest with you. I tip everywhere I go. Always. I don't care even if they are shit. Really? I don't think I've ever left a $0 tip. I might not give you 20%. I've never left a $0 tip.
I've left zero.
I've never. Nope. Unless you can cuss me out at the table. And honestly, I still wouldn't give a fuck because people do have bad days. But like,
but you're still gonna tip.
I'm going to tip.
No matter what.
To me, I know I say like I'm not required to pay your paycheck, and I think it's fucking stupid. I tip. Fucking, we went to Blaze Pizza today, and you walk through like the subway of pizzas, and it was like, how much do you want to tip? Fucking 15, I guess. I don't know. I mean, just anything. I don't care. I will tip everywhere I go. If it's an option, I'm going to fucking tip you.
And that's now, where we're different. I'm performance-based. I will tip you.
I'm performance-based too, but I feel like I should at least give you something. Mm-mm. Right?
I feel like you work for it, right? That's what we do in life. We work for it. Hospitality, whatever you do, right? We're still talking about the same thing.
I think that you'd be different because you are in the hospitality. I'm not in the hospitality industry. To be honest with you, my industry is more like fuck you and fuck everybody here. You listen to me. You know
maybe
what I'm saying? Like,
it's maybe that's why I am different because I'm in a business where hospitality is a big thing. And if you work for hospitality and work to earn business, then you get good business. And if I take you for a McDonald's experience, I don't expect you to pay Ruth's Chris prices. So when I lay down this tablecloth to do anything that I'm going to do for you, trust and believe it's going to be the best service with the red carpet rollout. I expect compensation the same way. And I give compensation the same way. I'm not saying that if it doesn't come, I'm like, oh, I'm mad. I'm not going to treat you right. No, I'll still treat you the same. I don't care. But I treat every customer like that. Whether you have no credit and have never bought a car or whether you've bought 50 and you're here for number 51, I'm still going to treat you as a human. I don't care. I think that is important.
I think you're still thinking about it from a sales standpoint.
No, I'm thinking about it from a life standpoint. Yeah, it makes somebody have back, a better day.
In my mind, I'm thinking about like food service, right?
I know, and that's what I'm saying. It's way deeper than that. We're talking about life.
I don't think it is.
Brother, you're in contact with them all day. Banks and Starbucks and gas stations and da-da-da-da-da-da. The list goes on and on.
But I don't think that's it's not a requirement.
I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying
like
that it's
okay. So like I go to 7-Eleven and I go get my damn Red Bull and my damn Zins or whatever. And the guy, I don't care if he's nice or not. I don't care if he fucking slams my shit down. Just fucking ring it up so I can leave. I don't care about you. You know what I mean? You are the smallest inconsiderate point in my life today is the fucking checkout guy at the 7-Eleven. I don't give a fuck. I'll be honest. Most time, like, especially in South Florida, if they have a fucking self-checkout, that's where I'm going. I don't want to fucking talk to you.
Cool. Don't get it twisted. I don't care if you have a bad personality or not. I'm not going to let it ruin my day, but it could help me have a better day. I'm not going to let it make me have a worse day.
I'm just saying, I don't give a fuck about your personality. At the end of the day, how does that change me? Well, how does that even affect me? It doesn't.
It doesn't, but it can leave an impact on you one way or another.
Why?
You've never had an experience where you were like, I can't stand that guy. Ever?
I've been like, fuck that guy bad and hospitality. Leave.
Okay, bad hospitality. What if it had nothing to do with the restaurant? That right there.
I still
there,
go back.
Okay, but a lot of people wouldn't. Hear me out.
A lot of people are fucking stupid, to be honest with you.
A lot of people are stupid because they, when you go somewhere and get treated like shit and don't get what you order, you don't come back and spend money. Yeah, that's dumb as fuck.
I'll be completely
what
honest
are we
bro.
Talking about?
A lot of people in life, they are fucking crybaby ass little bitches. They get one bag of spaghetti, but I'm never going back because sure. They forgot to put the 3 ice cubes instead of the 4. That's fucking stupid.
Do you think I'm that kind of person?
No, I don't. But so I'm saying there is a lot of people that like they ask unreasonable shit. And I'm not saying like, oh, well, I want to get a salad, but I don't want lettuce. I don't want all this. I don't want the you know, they want to change the whole fucking meal. If you have these crazy ass, like this is exactly how you want it to eat at the fucking house.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that, nor did I say the customer is always right. All I'm saying is that hospitality is a dying breed, and no matter what, I don't give a fuck what you do. If you want to work for the next man, you can have the mentality of, oh, I don't give a fuck if he cares or he don't care. But if you have your own fucking business, I bet to God, I bet to everything that you love on everything, you're going to want your fucking workers to have an attitude to keep customers. And that means if they come up to a customer and they're a fucking dick and they lose that customer, I'm going to fire that piece of shit because he just ruined my fucking money. That's hospitality, dog. I don't give a fuck if you're building houses. There are people who will not go to builders because they are sorry pieces of shit personality-wise. They don't give a fuck about you. They care about the money. They could do the best job in the motherfucking world. But if you have a face-to-face experience with these people and they have a shit experience, some of them people will never buy with you again because they can buy wherever the fuck they want. So what's the difference? All I'm saying is that in business, when you are that owner, not when you are that worker, not when you are that customer, not when you were, when you are that owner, hospitality is going to fucking matter a lot, always.
And I understand.
And that is dying.
Okay. But what I'm saying though, you bring up the builders, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get a bad builder or he's not nice to you.
He's a piece of shit human.
He's a piece of shit. So you
but he builds the best of the best.
That's who the fuck I want.
You are one of how many though?
Right. I guess I'm smarter in that sense because I don't give a fuck if Bob the Builder's nice as fuck, but he has no idea what he's doing. Yeah, you're right. I'd rather have a nice experience for a couple weeks so I can have a shit house whenever I spend my hard-earned money on it than deal with an asshole for a little bit to have the fucking best house. That makes sense in my eyes. That's fucking stupid, bro.
You know what makes sense in my eyes? I can spend fucking money wherever I want, and I can find people just as good with good fucking attitudes.
No, you just said this guy was the best.
Oh, but there's a second best.
So you're better with getting a nicer person for a lesser product. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, 100%.
That's you.
Here's all why. Day. Here's why.
What?
All right. I don't give a fuck if you're the best, the second best, or the motherfucking worst. Eventually, something is going to go wrong. If I have the second best with a good fucking personality, when something goes wrong, I call that guy. It wasn't perfect the first time, but I call that guy and I tell that guy hauls ass back to fix it. When the guy who's perfect fucks up and you call that guy because you paid that motherfucker because he's the best and he's a piece of shit, but he's my piece of shit. And that motherfucker, you call him and say, hey, man, I know y'all always do perfect work, but this tub is not right. It don't sit in here right.
Then it's not perfect.
Exactly.
Why'd you ever let him leave?
You didn't know. I'm just saying you came back and you came to the house and you saw that something was wrong. So you called him and say, hey, man, this is not right. And he says, fuck you. I don't fuck nothing up. Click. That's what happened. And that's why I took number two. Because number two understands he's a fucking human like all of us and he's going to make mistakes. Number one, the guy with no hospitality, he don't fucking do no wrong. He ain't never done no wrong, and he ain't gonna start today. That's my point.
No, you're saying this guy is like perfect. I stand on business. He has the absolute best product out there, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to leave something fucked up. If not, he wouldn't have the best product. That's what you're... But the thing is, what you're saying... Yes, it is.
Okay,
it is
so true. Who has the best TV?
That's a fucking objective. No, it's objective. Oh. I think Samsung.
Okay, and they've never had a problem.
I'm not saying they haven't.
And that's what I'm saying about number one. Number one still has problems, dog.
You're number talking about one, building houses, though.
I'm talking about all aspects.
You can't talk about all aspects, because not all aspects is the same.
All aspects of hospitality are.
No, it's not.
Bullshit.
It's not.
It's different scenarios. It's the same fucking thing. Hospitality is hot. There's not a different word.
Hospitality. I don't care about hospitality.
It's part of everything.
No, it's not.
And whether you like it or not, it is.
That's how you feel about it.
100%.
I am buying a product. Now, if hospitality comes along with it, cool. If it doesn't, I still get my fucking product. I don't care. I'm not there to buy the car because I want to come talk to you. Now, I did just because you're my fucking cousin and I love you and I want to support you.
A lot of other people do too.
And you're great at that aspect. I'm just saying, if you were not in the car business, I don't care if I had the best fucking most amazing experience with this one salesman. I'm not fucking going back to him. I'm going where the goddamn car I want is.
And I don't get that. Care. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying there is a lot more people that care than people that don't in that aspect. At least of sales. I'm not talking about everything. At least of sales. That is a huge aspect to people. And it's a huge aspect to me and all of life. Maybe not to you. I understand, but you also,
this is how you provided for your family's hospitality. So it's near and dear to you. I think I'll be 100% honest with you. If people were to prioritize their interactions with other people over the product, I think they're fucking stupid.
I don't prioritize it over. I value it the same. I wouldn't.
But that's not the conversation we just had. You said if you'd rather go to second best for a nicer guy.
Right.
That's not the same product.
It is. It is the same to me, though. It's the same to me. It's not.
Brass tacks facts.
Okay, sure. Once again, I'm not saying that it's going to be, if you like Apple, but I like Android, and I go to Android, that doesn't mean that I'm buying something else. Let's say Apple's assholes, right?
Right.
Android's the nice guys. They're relatively close. They're objectively, one's better or the other. To a lot of people, they're objectively better one way or another to people, either objection they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying, I'm not talking about, oh, well, no, the nice guys Boost Mobile. No, I'm talking about these two are neck and fucking neck, and one's a piece of shit, and one takes care of their people head over heels. I'm going to the other one. I don't care which one the other one is. I will always go that route. Because, yeah, I care about relationships as much as I care about the purchase. Not more, not less, as much as. And so, to me, hospitality is on the same level as what I'm purchasing. I understand for you and for a lot of other people, it could give a fuck less. But I think, yes, in my industry and what I do in sales, but also in my industry and I think podcasting, I think that also goes for if I wanted to start a business. I think hospitality is very fucking important. So... how do I put this nicely?
I'll throw a scenario out there. Mm-hmm. All right, say like I'm looking for a MacBook, right? I go to Best Buy. They got one for $1,000 and it's got 512 gigs, mm-hmm. right? And then the Apple Store, whatever, they got one for $1,000, but it's got 256 gigs. Now Apple is like, if you need anything, you just come here and da 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 da. It's the same price. But this one's got a little more memory. You know what I mean? And then I go to Best Buy, and they're like, here it is, fucking want it or not. Yep, I'll take it. Like, you're a dumb motherfucker. Mm-hmm, yep, can I swipe my card now? I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a very minute thing, one. And two... okay.
How is that a minute thing?
You're still,
I'm getting a better product for the same amount of money.
What I mean is you're talking about something so minute in hospitality that's not really even what I'm talking about as far as hospitality. Saying somebody's saying, fuck you. What I mean...
Your manager with the mac and cheese...
Here's what I mean, okay. Right? Because you're not talking about the same thing. Here's what I mean. You go to Best Buy. You have two Best Buys in your city. One is closer and more convenient. One is 15 minutes further. Mm-hmm. They're the same fucking product. It's the same fucking price. There is no fucking difference. You can go to any Dodge and buy any truck. You can go any Best Buy and buy any fucking laptop.
Right.
You go to the first one and the guy's like, hey, fuck you, you cocksucking piece of shit. You don't know anything about a MacBook. So you're asking questions to learn about a MacBook. You're kind of clueless.
That'll never happen.
Okay, great. We're talking about Tristan Harlow, but I'm talking about every fucking body.
Then that's their
who
fault.
Who is not as smart as you.
That's their fault.
They go places for hospital. That's their fault. Brother, that means you could never have your own fucking business. You understand what you're saying right now, dog?
No.
So, but in your mentality, right?
Does what Best I'm Buy saying is sell the fucking laptops, or do they teach people about laptops?
They sell the
laptops. Sell the fucking laptops.
They also are there to help to guide to the right fucking purchase. That's what makes businesses profit, dog. What are you talking about? Listen.
Okay. A laptop.
Hold on.
Hundreds of dollars, maybe over $1,000. If you're the person that wants to go trust a fucking $10 an hour employee to tell you what better laptop, you're a fucking idiot.
You know how many people do, though?
Fucking idiots. That's their fault. If they get fucked on that, their fault. They should have took the time out of their day. It's either you got enough money that you could throw that motherfucker away if you don't like it and not hurt, or you do the research before you buy it to make sure that you get what the fuck you want.
Some people go in to do research.
They don't know how to do research?
Some people go into stores to do research, though.
That's fucking stupid. Why are you going into stores?
Why does that have to be done?
Did the fucking Best Buy blue shirt guy, did he build the fucking laptop?
No. Do you think that's where you're getting your information from the guy who built the motherfucker? Always?
Yeah, I look at Apple. I look at everything. I look at fucking tech specs. I look at a lot of different shit.
Yeah, but once again, everybody ain't smart, dog.
Well, then that's their fault. Then they're okay with getting fucked. I don't know.
So as a business owner,
right?
Once again, what you're saying is if people are too stupid to do their fucking research, then my workers should call them a dumb fuck and pay this $1,000. I'm not here to fucking tell you about this laptop. All I'm asking is if you were the fucking owner and you saw that, mm-hmm. would you fire that employee? Or no?
If he called him a dumb fuck unwarranted, yeah.
Yes. That's my
but
point.
But your scenario with the two Best Buys, that one's right there around the corner from my house, I can walk to it or whatever, one's fucking across town. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck if he walked up. It's like, hey, you cocksucker, what do you want? I'd like these AirPods. I don't care.
You wouldn't go to the other Best Buy?
No.
Really?
Out of convenience? No.
That is crazy.
I don't care.
That's wild. Absolutely fucking wild. Yeah, I think that's
why do you wear your fucking heart on your sleeve, bro? Who gives a fuck?
Because that's who I am.
Who cares about this blue shirt Best Buy? I mean, I think the blue is a nice, pretty blue.
I do too.
But fuck the dude. At the end of the day, whenever you get on and you get to go do your life,
you got to understand though. You keep thinking about this scenario like I'm like, he ruined my whole day. No, motherfucker.
You said you had a bad experience.
Yeah, you get called a dumb cocksucker. It's not a great experience, but it didn't ruin my fucking day. It was just a bad experience. Once again, the guy who was at the restaurant, he was a piece of shit. Did it ruin my day? Fuck no. I was like, what the fuck's happening for about 5 seconds, and that was fucking over. At that point, though, understand that I won't go back to that fucking Beef O'Brady's until that fat cocksucker is not the fucking manager. It was great fucking food. I can go to Hobbit and get great fucking food. I walk into your fucking business to buy something and you call me a dumb cocksucker? I can spend this motherfucking cash anywhere, dog, because I make that shit hand over fist. It won't be with a motherfucker who's talking down on me. Yeah, I stand on that. I don't think there's a problem with
that. Buy it online or you're going to fuck yourself by driving across town.
No, you're not. I'm not gonna fuck myself by driving across town.
I don't want
to
drive.
If I have the money to spend $1,000 on the laptop, you think I'm worried about the $6 in gas?
No, I'm not worried about the $6 in gas. I'm worried about the fucking 30 minutes to an hour out of my day, just because I want somebody to talk nice to me.
I'm not talking about. You're talking about complete disrespect, though.
I don't give a fuck. At the end of the day, what does it matter? Do you know this guy?
To you, nothing.
Why does he matter so much to you? What does his opinion get? I don't care what people think about me.
It matters for the business. It does not matter for you as the individual. It matters for me for the individual, too, because I care about fucking people, right? Like, that's just who I am as an individual. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I give a fuck about humans. That's who I am. I'll never fucking change. I don't give a fuck. That will be me till the day I fucking die. But a huge part about that too is like, once again, there's other people that feel the same fucking way. And it's the business and the businesses that will fall. Not the motherfuckers who care like me and not the motherfuckers who don't give a shit like you. The business itself will fall. Fucking period. Because if only half of the people felt like me, you're still losing half of your fucking business. And I just think on a grander scale.
Let me ask you this. You at Best Buy, you making $10 an hour. Do you think these people have like requirements they have to know about like all this technology and shit they should sell?
Oh, I'm sure they don't. The people that you're talking about, the $10 an hour folk, they might not have to. But if you're in there to buy something, there's somebody who knows what the fuck you're buying. Absolutely. Everywhere you go, there is somebody who knows what you are buying. That's what they're there for. When you go to electronics at Best Buy, there's the Geek Squad guys. When you go to...
You don't talk to Geek Squad. They fix shit.
But you, if you have questions that are too in-depth for the guys you keep calling the $10 an hour guys, I think that's fucked up too. But if...
I don't know. Well, I'm not saying...
Just for the guys who are on the floor. Just for the guys who do not have the experience, who are not paid to have that kind of knowledge.
That's what I'm saying.
They still have guys that they pay who do have that kind of knowledge.
I don't think so.
I do. 100%. Always.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it'd be a bad business model if not. I really and truly do. Because then when problems arise or when anything happens, you don't have somebody who understands what's going on. It's just kind of like, oh, well, fuck, I sell this thing. I don't know why the fuck it ain't working. You know what I mean? You got to have somebody to be able to fix the problem of what you sell. That's a huge thing about it. I think they kind of go hand in hand when you're selling something. Like, nope. I don't think anybody would buy something that is not fixable. And some people will. Some people always
will. Dog, that is fucking most of the shit that comes out nowadays.
What do you mean?
All right, so back in like old school, fucking like the 40s to like the 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. like that style of stuff, it was made to be fixed. It was made to have and be repaired.
Right.
Nowadays, that is not the case. You talk about you sold Dodges. You can't even fucking, it's a non-serviceable transmission. You cannot fix it. It blows the fuck up. You put a new one in. You can't even change fluid. You can't even check the fluid. It is now being made as disposable items. There is nothing made today that is meant to be repaired and fixed. It is meant to throw it away and buy a fucking another one.
Yeah, but it's still repairable. You don't have to throw away the car because the transmission messed up. It's fixable. Point blank period, right? So it's fixable.
The transmission isn't.
The car is. You don't drive the transmission. You drive the whole car. So you're going.
Not without a transmission.
Exactly. But it's fixable. The car is fixable.
But what I'm saying, though.
Driving is fixable. What I mean by that is you're going to have to come back for return service.
If I buy a hard drive from Best Buy, and it takes a shit. You're going to fix the hard drive?
No. But you're going to go back to buy another one.
Okay, then.
So there's going to be a return. There's going to be a return service. You're going to have to come back.
And I'll go back to the same asshole that calls me a fucking stupid piece of shit.
You are the craziest motherfucker I know.
But I'm just
saying, I love it. Let's get the fuck off this topic. We'll agree to disagree. I think you're a fucking idiot.
Okay,
about this.
I just want to leave you with this.
Please, in the fucking comments, let us know. I think this guy is an absolute fucking idiot for thinking this way.
I'm just saying, I don't care what people think about me. So like I don't, if he calls me the dumbest motherfucker in the world, in my heart, I know I'm not.
I agree.
So
with
his
that.
Opinion doesn't mean anything. I don't care what he has to say.
And you can play hard ass on here all you want, but when that guy calls you a dumb piece of shit, you might buy that fucking hard drive, but I bet the next time you don't go back there. And that's what I mean to say. And business point fucking blank period, hospitality is not everything, but it's fucking up there with it, dog, because returned services and return on everything.
If I drove across town and the guy called me stupid piece of shit, like, well, I'm not coming back to this one.
You're telling me you're going to go to both Best Buys and they're both going to call you a piece of shit? Big dog. No, I'm not. To another electronics store.
No.
Best Buy sucks.
I'm just saying, if I was on that side of town, right, and I stopped in and I got called two people shit, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to this one. Maybe because it was a bad experience, but majority because it's an inconvenience to me. No. I just go to the one closer by the house. No, now, also, you know what?
We talked about this. The one closer by the house and they were the ones who were the piece of shit. And then you went to the one that was further and they were the ones who were great. Would you go back to the one that was further or would you stay at the one that was closer?
Only if I was already over there. Say if I'm at my house and I have to leave to go to Best Buy, I'm not driving all the way across town. I'm not going to do it.
No matter what.
No matter what.
I'm different in that aspect.
I don't care if I walk in there and fucking dude ain't got no shirt on, shitting on the floor. I'd be like, man, that's crazy. Step around this guy's one, go see the laptops. Step around. I don't fucking care.
What if it was at a restaurant that was doing that?
Okay, so
I just want to know. Well, please tell me you're gonna step around this guy's shit and order your fries. No. I need to hear that.
I will say there is a break for me. Anything food related, I will not go back on like bad shit like that. And that's not really me. That's more like my mama instilled. I will not send shit back at a restaurant. Buddy, I don't give a fuck.
We don't have any of these conversations without mama instilled. We ain't got no motherfucking daddy, dog. Who you?
I know, but I'm saying
hospitality
like,
was everything.
No, I'm just saying like my mom though was like, if I have one bad experience at a restaurant, I probably won't go back for a long time at least. Just because, like, I'm real weird about food and shit.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying?
But
that, we don't eat out that lot.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense. Nah, and we do. We eat out a lot. You know what I mean? We eat a lot. So that's important to me because I do eat a lot, and I know what good experiences is, and I know what good hospitality is. And when that is not prevalent, I don't have to go back and spend my money at your establishment. And that's what I mean to say. Hospitality is something that's dying, but hospitality does not need to be dead.
I'm not saying that has to be dead. I'm just saying treat people with respect, absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you don't, oh well, I don't care. I'm not going to fucking...
No, you in particular, you as the person, but the business as a whole is going to fall. And that is going to happen a lot around this motherfucker because it's all based off of hospitality. That's, yeah, maybe it's not a thing anymore, but that's how people bought for the last fucking 100 years. So it's gonna be real hard to get away from that.
Well, Amazon,
if you're a good fucking person with a good heart and you want to start a business, now's the time. Because if you even care about these folks a tiny bit, I bet they come back.
Well, Amazon,
huh?
Amazon,
yeah, Amazon's got fuck you money.
Well, how'd they get that?
By being generous.
By being generous? Are you fucking crazy, bro? They sold shit with no interaction. They made it.
They didn't sell. That's not how that worked. It started with fucking books. Books is all interaction. Whatever you want to say, dog.
Books are interaction.
Book is all interaction. Book is 100% you reading an imagination. Bookstore.
Online. I don't want to go talk to anybody. Or what the fuck I want. You ship it here. It's convenient. It's fast. I don't want to fuck with nobody. You have everything. That's a good business model.
For a bookstore? For sure. You don't need fucking... People don't even talk in bookstores.
Amazon sells too many goddamn...
That's what you need to open, dog. A bookstore. You ain't got to talk to nobody. You don't even like books. I don't think you like people, so you probably...
I don't like people.
See? You fit in great in that motherfucker. You ain't got to talk to these assholes. You can look at them mean and not speak, and then just sell them books, and they'll come back all the fucking time because they don't like people either. I think most book readers are weird fucking people. I'm just kidding. I'm completely kidding about that. I'm just too dumb to read books.
No, bro. I'm just saying, like, Amazon... No. Like, that's a very minimal interaction. I don't have to fuck with nobody. I buy it 2 days later. It's on my door. Okay.
It's a huge business model.
Perfect.
Perfect business model for if you're buying fucking trinkets. I just don't think.
Amazon has trinkets, bro. Are you fucking kidding me? I order everything off Amazon. Everything.
You can't order a car off Amazon. You can't.
Yes, you can. Bullshit. Look it up. Yes, I could buy a fucking car off Amazon today.
I would never. Same with the Carvana shit. I would never. No, I wouldn't.
I'm just saying, I don't think I would either. No. But I'm just saying because I want to go see it in person before I buy it anyways. But that's not for a salesman. That's to make sure I get the product that I want.
No, you know what I'm saying? But I get that. But all I'm saying is that if you get there to find out about that product and the guy's a piece of shit, you're not going to buy from that guy. If you get there and that guy is cool as fuck and you kind of had an idea that you might buy it today, that guy might persuade you to buy it right now instead of later. The only point I'm making is that sometimes by being hospitable, I'm going to get that sale. I'm going to help that business.
Yeah, I would say for majority of people.
All of the time, for if I'm being an asshole, it's not going to be a net positive. It might still render the same goal. It might still get the sale.
Know, bro. You ain't always the nicest to me, and I still came back. You know what I'm saying? So
It's because my, never mind.
No. I mean, I'm just saying that, like, yes, I do agree. Vast majority of the people, they care how they're talked to, and they care about their experiences and all that. I'm just saying I think it's silly to do that.
Yeah.
I think that you are buying on emotion rather than fucking, was it sense or whatever you want to call it, logic.
Yeah.
Like, to me,
but I'll tell you
a vehicle
this.
Is a huge purchase, right? Huge. Like, especially the price of vehicles nowadays. If you're not doing your own research where you walk in there, I mean, I sold cars with you, brother. I would say that as far as thinking and knowledge and IQ-wise, we was fucking up there in that car lot.
100%.
You know, there's some motherfuckers that like, oh, yeah, the car, it got... Hey, the best paint, the best paint.
There was a guy, there was a gentleman. I will break off for this real quick. He makes a lot of sales. He's dumb as shit. He makes a lot of sales because of who he is. He loves people, right? So he still makes a lot of money. Don't get it twisted now.
I'm not saying he don't.
No, he wasn't very smart. A customer who was a diesel customer. And when you got a diesel customer, these guys are construction guys, right? Like they're not coming for one. They're coming for three or four. And they buy a lot of vehicles a lot of times of the year. These are going to be guys who are going to buy 12 to 20 vehicles from you for tax write-offs and other purposes, right? This guy was a Ford loyalist. All he bought was Ford. He came to Dodge because they didn't have any Fords. It's COVID time. And the salesman, he says, why should I buy this instead of a Ford? I love the 6.7 diesel. I love the 10-speed transmission. I love the size that I have inside of the vehicle. What separates Ford from Ram?
Or what separates Ram from Ford? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But either way, he goes, the colors, they got the best colors. He said, this one in particular is my favorite. They are looking at a construction white base model.
That motherfucker truck. Probably ain't even got clear coat on it. It's no. Got white, no absolutely flake, no nothing.
No nothing.
I mean, this flake. Is like
it's flaking off.
Truck white.
Yeah. It's the flake is flaking off of the truck. Yeah, that's the only thing that paint flaking.
Yeah, it is the cheapest like Rust-Oleum fucking rattle can white you can get. They got the best colors, the best paint in the game.
Still being, you know, that, I don't want to say anything mean here, just incompetent as far as what exactly he was asking to be elaborated on for engine, transmission, drive axles, how much can this tow and da-da-da. That guy still made a lot of sales because of his hospitality.
Okay, but the people that don't do their own research, they go there and that's the guy that's informing them about their major purchase.
And
that's what I'm trying to get. Do your fucking own research.
Do your own research.
That's what I'm saying about the $10 Best Buy employees. I'm not saying they make $10. I'm not trying to talk down upon anybody.
No.
But do you think they're actually that knowledgeable, or are they going to feed you some bullshit? But
I think a little deeper than that. I think on the full spectrum that guy is, like I told you, I don't want to say anything negative. He's very hospitable. He's very nice, and he makes a lot of sales because of that. Not to toot my own horn, but I did a lot more because I had the same hospitality with knowledge. And I think that that is part of hospitality to me. Part of hospitality is knowing what I came here to buy. I truly in my heart believe that day that guy did not buy. Don't get it twisted. White did not sell the truck. If I had the opportunity to explain the differences in between a Ford and a Ram, knowing that I had 9 on my site right here on my lot that you can take home and Ford has none, so I can give you a tax write-off today, I'm selling those 9 vehicles right now. You don't, it's but not.
What I'm saying though is.
That's elite hospitality. That's all I'm saying.
Elite hospitality. Okay. Yeah. And cool. But you also,
I'm just
like in the car game, you were like one of the top performers out there, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about the top 1%. Yeah. The top 1% is going to be better than everybody else.
Yeah.
But majority speaking wise.
I'm not talking about how good I was at something. I'm talking about how much I cared about the hospitality side. I think is what separated most of it. I
would say adapt to your customers. I'll be honest with you, that guy there today, mm-hmm. he probably don't care if you're the nicest and cares about his family and da 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 da. He wants brass tacks. Why is this better than this? I need to buy it for I'm completely their own logic. I don't care about emotion.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that you or I know more about the difference between a Ford 6.7 and a Dodge 6.7? If you want to get technical details. Exactly. So 100%. In that mind, or that aspect, on logically speaking, comparing the two vehicles, do you think he'd rather talk to me or talk to you because you're nicer?
Well, so here's the thing. I think I have a better ability to sell him. Because
I do too.
And here's, here's why.
You were a lot better. I tried to sell cars and I was fucking horrible at it because I'm like.
You weren't horrible. You did great when we did it together.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying I'm not saying like horrible wise. I'm just saying like people come in there and ask dumb questions. I don't like that.
But here's what I mean. The reason that I think I have a better ability to sell him than you is not because I have more knowledge than you, even though he came in looking for more knowledge. The reason that I think I have a better ability to sell to him than you is because I have enough knowledge so that I'm not a dumbass, which makes you hospitable because I might not know more. I might know a little less, but I don't know nothing, right? Like right. I know what I'm selling or I wouldn't be sitting here selling it to you. I promise. If I'm going to sell something, I believe it. I think this is all part of hospitality. Hold on.
Just one intercept though. So you know You know, that's why you're selling, because you do know knowledge of what you're selling. But that's not a requirement. I've seen it hand over.
It's not at a, the car. Neither is hospitality. And that's what I mean.
That's the only thing I'm saying. I get it.
It's not a requirement. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it ruins business models when you don't have it. Because I think it's all cohesive. It all goes together. It's all one. I think the knowledge and hospitality, that mix, the reason I think I can sell the guy is because I have enough knowledge not to be an idiot, but I have enough personality so that we can find common ground and become friends by the end of it. You are, Tristan. You're going to give him brass tacks, all of the facts, and give him everything to go think about. I am going to give him enough facts with all of emotion, enough to buy today. And that is the difference in business too. I think hospitality, the emotion part of it is hospitality. Everything about hospitality is emotion, not logic. So if you have some logic and a lot of hospitality, you'll get a fuck of a lot further than all logic and no hospitality. That's just what I think.
You know, I'm not a very emotional person whatsoever.
No, I'm not. I'm emotional
with my wife, dog. I don't be emotional to fuck Carla. What you want me crying in the fucking, crying in our Jeep Wrangler? But I'm buying it. No, bro. This ain't no fucking psychiatrist meeting. Just tell me, will it run over rocks and shit or not? Okay, that's right. What I want to know.
All I'm saying is that the hospitable guy, he can sell to you all day and tomorrow. He can also sell to the one that cries in the car. I've had so many people I can't even name, dog, chest bumping on the showroom floor, hugging, high-fiving, tears rolling. Those are my favorite sales. And that does not come from not being hospitable. That comes from pure hospitality and me loving that other person, even though I've only known them for an hour. That is real hospitality, man. And I really do, like, that is what I stand on more than anything in life. And not because, oh, I give a fuck about what they think. No, but if I'm always hospitable or as hospitable as I can be, maybe, just maybe, I leave a little bit of impression that makes that next person just a little bit happier to go, hey, man, do you remember when you said that crazy shit or when you did that crazy shit? I think that is what it's all about for me, the human connection. And like I said, to you and to a lot of people, maybe not the case. Maybe people could give a fuck less. But I think it's a huge business model, and I think it is something that is dying. I do think that. And now I'll shut the fuck up, and we can move on to something else. I do want to say, though, that was a good topic, pretty good debate. Please tell us, what do y'all think? Does it not make a fuck? Am I stupid? Is this man crazy? Is it very important?
No, where, I know where do y'all psycho. Stand? I know I'm psycho, and I don't care. Like, honestly, yeah,
but,
like,
all right, but I'm not sexist by any means. But does that mean that I think like a female? I don't know. I was raised by only a mother, so that's all I know. You know what I mean?
Me too, motherfucker. I'm just saying, like, I just don't care. My mom was
maybe your mom was more like a man though.
Well, she kind of had to be in certain situations.
Oh, mine too. I got to fuck me out. I'm a big dude. I got to fuck me out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she still cried over commercials. Don't get it twisted. And there's commercials that I tear up to sometimes. The one with the dogs and the kids and
that don't affect me whatsoever.
Oh man, those are a little, those make me have to take a couple of breaths. I won't lie to you. She cries over like credit card commercials where the dog runs across the road and like goes to the family, like, and just like, oh, jumps, what? Jumps in the lap and pets. I'd be like, what?
That's
Mom.
That's supposed to be like a good time commercial.
That's exactly what it is. I'd be like, Mom, what's wrong? Nothing, baby. That dog is so happy. Hey, so that's what I grew up around. So I need to know here. Am I just way too emotional? Or is this something that I can stand on? I ain't never cried over a commercial like that. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna sit here and that was never a movie. Hell yeah.
Name them.
Hell yeah. Oh man, hold on.
I got two.
It's hard for me to, I don't cry. I ain't cried over a movie. Tears have dropped.
Bitch has crying. No?
Okay. Well, a lot of movies. Princess and the Frog. That's a good one.
Are you fucking around? Or are you being
serious? Yeah, I'm fucking around. No, I'm fucking around. I can't think of it off the top of my head. You name yours.
I got two. Marley and Me.
I never watched it because of that.
Oh, don't do it.
I won't.
It was upsetting to me because, like, are you ever going to watch it?
Never.
Spoiler alert. If you ain't seen the shit, you plan on it.
I mean, seen this movie that came out in 2006.
Yeah, I was about to say. But, like, if you ain't seen it by now, you're probably going to watch it. But anyways, Marley is a dog they adopted, whatever. He's like this big ass, I think he's a golden retriever, whatever. Well, he gets sick and they like make it seem like he dies.
Mm.
And like,
make it seem like he dies. Does Marley die?
Fuck, eventually. But he gets sick. He like goes to the doctor and like next thing you know, it looks like he's dead, like in the movie. And like, that was upsetting. And it's like, he was sick and now he's good, right? And then I was like, what the fuck? It's like 6 months later, here comes Marley running around. He's like, oh, after we got over that sickness, da 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 da. Then they did the same. They killed this dog like 3 fucking times. Like, he didn't actually die. Then finally brought him back. So at the end of the movie, when he actually fucking dies, they're like, oh, he's come back. And then no, he doesn't.
That is traumatic.
Right. I'm like, what fucking monster? I don't know. I think it came out like 2012 or something. I don't know. Let's see when Marley and Me came out. Let me Google this shit real quick.
2012. I just graduated high school. It's funny how now, right? And this always happens.
2008.
I told you.
So I was like 7 or 8 years old. December 25. So I was 9.
That's crazy. You were my kid's age.
Yeah. So I was 9. And then like, imagine, you know.
That's traumatic.
She's watching Marley and Me, bro. That's a fucked up ass movie. And like, it was meant to be like a feel good, like, I wouldn't say a kid's movie by no means, but like, it wasn't like adultish. It was like a damn dog.
Well, and
Owen Wilson and a dog. They were having fun.
All I heard about this movie, and like I said, made no sense for me to watch. I know I'd cry over it. I have a huge emotional connection to animals. I don't know if anybody knows this, but my family, a lot of people in my family call me Noah because of how animals act around me and how much I love animals themselves. So all I heard was it was about a dog who dies. And I was like, that sounds like some shit I never want to watch. I cannot at this time recollect an exact movie that I cried over. I can, however, tell you that when I was about, I'd love to tell y'all I was probably 3. I was probably more like, I don't know, 7 or 8 during the time where I thought the name Lathe was terrible and I wanted everybody to call me Jason. So around that time, I had these things. Now, I do want to say that I didn't have a dad. My mom was a little more lenient with me, and my brother was 9 years older than me. So they watched adult movies. I didn't watch too much cartoons as a kid, and they watched Jeepers Creepers one night, and I watched that movie too as a little kid. And for the next, man, I felt like it was a year, probably wasn't that long, but I woke up at like 3 o'clock every night, walking around the house, crying like a little baby, trying to sleep with my mommy, who would tell me no and to go back to bed. And I was just sure every night when I had to go back to that room at 3 a.m. that Jeepers Creepers was going to eat my head off.
So maybe you did cry also, over a movie.
There was also, yeah. I mean, I didn't cry at the time of that movie, but I cried for a long time afterwards about the shit. I'll tell you that. I also think there was ghosts in the house, just a little PS there. But neither here nor there. I cried every night at about 3 a.m. Thank you for putting up with me, Mom. You know, I love movies. I don't know why we have to have sad movies. I think there is enough times in fucking life where sad shit happens. I don't like drama.
You ever seen The Last Avengers? That's my second movie. Is Avengers Endgame?
No.
All right. So, like, that's, you wouldn't call that a sad movie, would you?
No, hell no. Well, Avengers, I've never seen the last one, but Avengers, no, not at all.
Okay, well, I cried at The Last Avengers.
I just thought of another one. Go ahead.
Okay. You owe me the kind of, at the end of it, spoiler, I guess, Iron Man dies. Well, you know, Iron Man's got a daughter or whatever.
Oh, Iron Man like Tony Stark?
Tony Stark,
like,
yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.?
Robert Downey Jr., he dies.
Oh my God, I'm not watching that either.
None of this.
Yeah, no.
Anyways, so fucking, they're fighting Thanos, whatever, he gets the stones and he snaps his finger and reverses everything Thanos did, right? Mm-hmm. Puts the world back to normal. To do this, they had to go back in time and like get the stones, and they were trying to convince Tony, and Tony's like, no, I've got a family now because he's got a daughter, right?
Right.
And the thing between him and his daughter is like, I love you. And then he'd be like, I love you too. And she'd be like, I love you 100 and I love you 1,000 or whatever, man. Right?
Love you infinity.
Right. So at the end of it, I don't know if you know Iron Man, he always takes his helmet off and he can like talk to his helmet and it pulls out like a projector screen.
Yeah.
So he's passed, they're kinda all at his house or whatever, and he's talking. And he was like, you know, I've ran through the thing, da da da. I don't know if we're gonna make it. You know, he's talking like, and this is, he doesn't even know this is going to happen, this big-ass fight, and he's going to pass or whatever. He's like, I don't see how we're going to do it, but we got to. And at the end of it, he goes, love you 3,000. And fucking, I kind of like, not like lost it, but I definitely cried. And like, you got to think too, like now I do have my own daughter. Like I couldn't even, you know.
fathom.
Yeah, dude, it was
rough.
The rough.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Like I told you when you said the thing about the Avengers. No, I'm not crying. I had something in my throat. But Venom, great movie. Yep. Probably my favorite right now for sure, as far as like Superman, Batman, like.
Like the newer one, like Tom Hardy in it?
Yeah, yeah. So mine's Venom. So there's been, this is the third one just came out. And I'm going to give y'all another spoiler. So if you haven't watched this movie and you plan on it, do not listen to this. But we are coming near the end of the movie. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, the third one is...
The last one. The last one that just
came out. The Last Dance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one at the very end, first off, the guy's always been like thought of as the bad guy, but does everything good. And in my life, I have a lot of connection to that. Just, I won't, it's probably not real just in my mind, but gives me a lot of motivation and shit. But, you know, like I did grow up with grandparents who I was not their favorite. Let's just say that. And as a five-year-old, you feel like that's kind of your fault that you're not their favorite. Like you did something wrong. So I always felt like the black sheep a little bit, kind of like how Venom is. He's a great guy, but he eats people's head off. So people are a little scared.
Only the bad people, you know?
You know what I mean? Only the bad people, but they don't know that. They just see this guy eating fuck people's head off.
Right.
So at the very end, he kills himself to save everybody there, all the military and everything. Then people realize like how good of a man this guy is. And I was already like, I loved him so much and what he just did. I was already like, man, that's a strong ending. You know what I mean? If they don't ever come up with another one, that's a strong ending. And then my son lost it, crying because Venom died, and Venom was his favorite. And I know it was his favorite. It was my favorite. And now I'm having to be the strong one. I ain't like crying. I ain't losing or nothing. But boy, every time I get a chance to fake yawn so I can rub these motherfucking tears off my eyes, I am. You know what I mean? Because in that moment, like, I saw the humanity in him just like a kid. You know, you watch movies that are pretty sad, you know, and you're like, damn, that shit was deep. Even cartoons, you're like, man, that was kind of deep. And you look at the kids and the kids are like, da, 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 da. They care less. They don't understand the what happened or anything like that. And this was the first time that I had seen that he grasped it. Like he felt it inside of his soul too. And that hit me right in the gut.
Yeah.
It was cool though. It was really cool to see. You know, being a parent, dude, that is the coolest part about it for me. Just these babies turning into humans, like grown people. And you don't notice, especially us, man. We worked out of town so much. We missed a lot growing up. Now we're here, thank God, as much as we can be. But, you know, we missed a lot growing up. And I would see her. And she wouldn't look like anything. What I mean by that is like people go, oh, my God, they look just like you. Let me tell you something. A one-week-old looks like every other one-week-old. Bunch of crazy-looking aliens. Some look a little cuter than others. I'm biased. I would say mine are the prettiest little one-week-old aliens ever invented. I'm sure everybody feels the same way about their one-week-old. But they don't look like you. They don't look like her. They don't look like nobody, baby. They look like them for that time being. And then they start to get their face and start having their facial expressions. And then you go out of town and you come back and like, oh, damn, she looks like me. She's got my nose. And you come back. Oh, my God, she's walking. Oh, my God. And just this progression of life that you get to see those kids go through and just like the different stages is so awesome.
I don't know, bro. I ain't good with babies. To this day, I still can't be like, oh, she looks like me or she looks like, you know, my wife. I don't know. I'm not very good at that game whatsoever. You know what I mean?
I'm awesome at the game. In my mind, they both look just like me.
Everybody always tells me, they're like, man, they look just like your wife. I'm like, I'm glad my girls don't look my ugly ass. I mean,
appreciate that, dude.
Well, yeah, where they're going to start popping out some damn 5 o'clock shadow and shit? Like, why would they look like me? They're girls. Like, that don't make no sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
You saying I look like a girl? What you trying to say? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I get that. But, you know, there it's deeper than that, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about it's not just about the looks. It's about the actions. That's
huge. Yeah, they're like starting in their personality.
Yeah. Yeah. And then their personalities become, now you start to see who they're going to be like, right? Like, where are they going to go towards? And it's funny, like, even, you know, you're an adult now, but things that you did as a kid, now you start to see your kids pick up those same habits and you're like, holy cow, what is actually happening here? Like, I didn't teach nobody that because I didn't want nobody to know that my damn self with me doing this bad stuff as a kid. And now you're doing the same thing. So as much as you want to be like, hey, I'm going to tear that butt up. Nah, you ain't, because you did the same damn thing, and tearing that butt up didn't do nothing but piss me off. I got whoopings and got more mad and decided I was going to do worse shit. I don't think, and now I like getting whooped. So, you know, it's just, in all, whoopings didn't work for me. I'm completely kidding.
Okay, we're going this one early.
All right, that was fun. That was good. No, man, we've talked about some pretty good stuff. I think I clearly won the first debate. no, I'm completely kidding. But we did. We had a debate in there. Still always going to touch a little bit on our past. And then kind of starting to come into our future now. You know what I mean? Just as far as like our kids, you know, like scariest thing to me. I never wanted kids. I always knew I was going to have two. I was going to have a, you know, just how it was going to work out. Like as a young kid, I had that thought in my mind exactly how it was going to work. And it did. But I got scared when I was little because all I had heard was, by the time you're an adult, this world's going to be done. It caught fire. Everything's over. And that was the scariest part about bringing... It wasn't me. I could take care of me. And I knew we'd probably be good for another 80 years or however long I was going to live, you know. But I couldn't calculate for, you know, 120 or 150 or however many... that come after me, you know what I mean? And what I would leave them to or with. So that was always real scary. Speaking of that, I was talking to my wife probably 30 minutes before you got here. And I told her, I said, you know, I've always had this thing in my mind and I still have it more than ever. She almost got teary eyed, but I just wanted to be really, really real with her and tell her exactly how I felt. I told her that still today, as much as I don't care about money and things like that, as I want to take care of all of my family. I want to take care of my wife and my kids. I want to make sure that us doing what we do takes care of your wife and your kids and my brother's wife and my brother and my mom and my uncles and my cousins and my aunts and my grandparents and my everybody who has been there for me, all friends, everybody's been there along the way. But I told her straight up, I said, if I right now could live for 100 years, and have all my time that I get to spend with y'all. But when I left y'all with absolutely nothing. Not a dime, not a house, not nothing. Or if I could drop dead right now and know that y'all had $100 million and that y'all would never have to work, my kids' kids would never have to work, I'd be fine to leave today at 31 years old. And she was like, see, I don't feel like that because time is the most important. And I said, I agree 100%. I think time is the most important. But... for 31 years, I've tried to show, there's been ups and downs, of course. I've tried to show the epitome of who I am, and who I am is family. That's 100% who I am. I am the guy who likes to float down the river and have football gatherings and sit with my cousins and talk and play video games as long as we got headphones to talk on, because I could give a fuck about the video game. I care about the conversation. Yeah. So I know that if I died right now, my family has that to carry on. You know what I mean? But we ain't got a dime. And I want to leave a legacy so that everybody can go tubing and can get together for all these parties and not have to focus so hard on working. And I understand where she's coming from with the like, well, no, you would never trade time for money. But if every day you try and give every ounce of your time of how you want to be remembered, then yeah, for me, like that's the one thing left is just to leave it to where it's not so hard for the next generation to come for my babies.
I don't know. I believe everybody trades time for money anyways. I mean, there's no possible way you can get around that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Same exact scenario. Okay. Right now, if you could have 100 years left of life from today and you have a good life, mm-hmm. You wouldn't ever want for nothing, but you wouldn't leave them with anything. Or... you could leave them with $100 million right now. They'd never have to work. They couldn't. And I understand what you're saying is maybe they could blow this money, or you haven't said this, but maybe they could go through that money before. Like, I mean $100 million with like, that money ain't going nowhere. They would have to do everything they could and still your grandkids would still be just fine. And then after that, whatever happens, happens. Which one would you take?
So I just turned 26, so I'm going to live to 126.
Yes. But you'll leave your kids, your grandkids, absolutely nothing. The house that you have, they don't have. The car that you drive, they don't drive. Anything in the future that you would, nothing accumulates. Point blank period, you leave with zero. And they start with zero as soon as you leave. Or you leave with a, you leave now. They have 100 million and they'll never be able to spend
time. So like time's froze for 100 years? Or like they're going to still grow up and get old and all that shit?
They're still going to grow up and get old and all that shit. You're just around for the next 100 years.
That's a hard one.
It's hard.
It is a hard conversation. Yeah, I think it'd have to be higher than 100 mil for one, because I think you could blow through 100 million pretty easily.
When I told T how I explained it to her was that the 100 million was liquidated. This is just cash. You've got yachts, you've got homes, you've got cars, you've got land, you've got property, you've got businesses that are all paid for 100%. The 100 million that I'm talking about is liquidated. Because like I said, once again, what I meant by this is never have to work. I mean, you ain't got to pick up a pencil. I mean, you don't have to go into an office and say, hey, you should put that there. I mean, self-sustaining $100 million. They would have to purposely.
You just exist and get money.
You just exist and get money. They would have to go out of their way to stop this money from coming, period. And even if they did everything they could to blow every dollar and fuck everything up, it would take for your kids' kids to pass away to not have money anymore. So it's a lot more than 100 million. It's 500 million, really. It's just 100 million liquidated on hand. I can put 100 million down on anything and still have shit to put up against everything else I've got. Another 400 million worth.
I don't know. There's two sides. One, like if you did do it, you know, of course your family didn't have to want anything in. You know what I mean? They'd be set for life.
And that's my biggest thing. Like
but
I said,
two, on the flip side though, would I want to do that and have my family never have to work for anything?
That's a tough
one. Handed a silver spoon, you know, never. And I'm not saying that I want them to learn hardship or challenges, but you kind of have to be a well-rounded individual. If you've never experienced the bad, you don't even know what good is.
Brother, I know you ain't thinking too much about this because it's you, but them kids just lost their dad. They went through some tough shit. They're not about
okay,
to
but
lack
your kids,
on
kids, your grandkids.
That's your kids' responsibility. You teach your kids well enough to go. And you would have to have this same conversation in 5 years. My kids are older. Are they completely grown? By no means. But they are old enough to grasp concepts of hard work and just little minute details that in the end become huge. So you would have to fast forward this conversation where your kids are both old enough to, you know, grasp the concept of, hey, he left us with this. This is what we have. This is our responsibility. This is what he did for us to get this. Because when I leave this earth, no matter what, I don't get the opportunity or probably won't get the opportunity to teach my kids anything. If I'm lucky enough, maybe my kids, but definitely probably not my kids. Eventually, I don't get to be, all I'm saying is eventually I'm not the one who gets to be the one who takes charge and be the leader anyways. So when that time comes, I don't want to be like, well, doesn't matter because I'm not going to know them and they're not going to get to learn anything from me. I don't want to leave them shit. I still want to leave the legacy.
The grandkids.
Yeah.
Your kids, that'd be grandkids.
Yeah.
You would definitely know your grandkids.
I would definitely know my grandkids.
But not if you drop dead today and left them a bunch of money. So now you got some spoiled ass grandkids that don't even know you because, you know, you passed away when their mom and dad was, or not mom and dad, but, you know, whoever, their parent, you know, was young. They would never know you. You know what I'm saying? Like, but, so now you got a little shit stained fucking grandkid running around, damn silver spoon, fucking flying on private jets and yachts and be like, how'd you get your money? Because we just got it like that, broke bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that.
But do you want to leave your kids with something?
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to have that. Maybe not that. Maybe you're not going to have the spoiled ass. But once again, eventually, you're not going
to
have any influence.
See, I want it to be my choice.
Influence.
if my children today, my two girls, if one of them turned out to be a damn crackhead, drug addict, didn't want to listen, rebellious, doing the dumbest shit in the world, I would leave her with nothing.
Right.
So I want the option. Well, my fear is,
but understand,
my fear, if I left them with money, like today, if I passed away today, left them with money, whatever, I wouldn't have enough time to really understand how they'd become as an adult or to imprint on them enough for them to take me through their life. And I'll be 100% honest with you, your kids are older than mine, but I don't think you've had enough time to imprint. You got to think.
Not for life. No, not for their whole life.
I mean, by the time they hit adults, you know, that's what, maybe a decade of time? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I trust their mother enough. I trust my brother enough. I trust you enough. I have a family support that I trust enough. And all of y'all are taken care of too. Like I said.
Absolutely. Okay, but I try to tell you about, you know, Papa Danny's mom, and I like try to imprint on her and how she done things, or is it really going to mean that much to you?
Well,
you never met her.
If Papa Danny's mom left us with $100 million, I'd probably let her imprint on me because that's somebody that I'd want to base my life after. I just mean, on the scenario that I'm talking about, right? How you said, like, if your daughter, not your granddaughter, is a crackhead, you don't want to leave her with anything.
Yeah, I said my daughter's a crackhead, I ain't going to leave her with shit.
Well, exactly. With the two scenarios that I'm giving you, you don't have a fucking choice. I mean, either you're going to... No, you're either... No, what I'm saying is, like, you don't have the choice to give money or not to give money, or to give some one to some and not one to the other. You have the choice to give nothing to anyone, whether they be great or be crackheads, or give everything to all of them, whether they be good or crackheads. That's the question. The question is, do you take the time or the $100 million? Or let's not say $100 million, because that's just a number. Do you take the time or do you take sustaining wealth for the next two generations to come?
I'd probably take the time.
I like it. I like it.
And not even like, and that's going to sound fucked up, just because I'd rather pass down knowledge than wealth.
That's great.
Because I believe knowledge is wealth.
I do too.
But if you have wealth and no knowledge, you might be okay for two generations, but that third one's going to be fucked, bro. He is not. They're going to be broke dumbasses. They, you know what I mean? So like,
I agree.
If we was like a middle family for two generations, we're going to be a top tier, and that third one, we're going to go low class, baby.
That's how it always works. There's no truer statement than when somebody tells you that hard times create hard men. Hard men.
Are you talking about this?
Create soft times, and soft times create soft men. That's how that works.
The quote
the
other day is, strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men, hold on.
That's right.
Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create hard times.
It's a cycle.
Exactly.
So no matter what, I'm going to be in that cycle. I don't have a choice of where I am in that cycle. Eventually, it's going to happen.
Well, you talking about dipping out for damn some money right now?
Well, that's what I mean.
You're like, I can see it coming down the road, motherfucker. I'm out.
You know what I mean?
Be part of this bullshit.
All I'm saying is, whether I leave in 100 years or I leave today, I would rather leave my family whenever that time is, knowing that they don't want for anything.
Let me ask you this.
That's my biggest thing in life.
All right, your same scenario, right? You can cut out right now for like $1 billion.
Okay.
Don't even fuck the business, fuck all that, whatever. $1 billion cash money. After tax, in the bank account, you legally obtain it. You can legally spend it, right? Okay. Or you can stay around regular for $2 million. Not 100 years, just your regular life. You know, you get a fuck car accident, die today, possibly, you know. Regular life, but you get $2 million.
When I die, my family gets $2 million.
No, you get $2 million today.
What happens when I die? They're left with nothing?
What if you fucking whatever blow the $2 million, that's on you.
I'll take the $2 million a day.
Okay, what about a million?
I'll take the million a day.
100,000.
I'd take the billion.
Where is the cut for you?
A million.
$1 million?
Yeah.
So if he comes and says, I got 900 grand?
I'm taking the billion probably. Here's why. And it would have to be, it might be 2 million. I don't know. There is a number in which right now I can put and invest and make sure that I make generational wealth with the 2 million. You know what I mean? So
roughly then we're not 10%. A
problem. You know what I mean? So
10% a year.
Huh?
10% a year is kind of what you want to shoot for.
It's kind of what you want to shoot for. Exactly. So if right now I could put 2 million in something and then get a $200,000 return on it.
In a year?
I'm in. You know what I mean? And you can keep rolling and everything will be fine. That 200,000 is always going to come to you and we can invest on that and keep going. But if there's a case in which it's like you might leave your family with nothing or you'll definitely leave your family with everything, I'm taking leaving my family with something. Morally, I have to. And like I said, once again, I'm so much different than everybody else in a lot of ways and maybe the same in a lot of ways too. But for me, I am going to leave them with the money. Like I said, I feel like whether I live this same amount or another 31 or 62 or 93, hell, let's hope, right? But no matter what, I am going to be that same person until the day I die. I've already found out who I want to be. I want to be a positive person who wears my heart on my sleeve, who loves people to death, who treats everybody with respect, who hopefully we get to do a lot of awesome, fun things in life, and that's a huge carrier of that. But that is the legacy that I'm going to leave. And the people that I've been around anyways understand that legacy, the ones who are real close to me. They understand who I am and what I want to leave for everybody else. So if I can leave that impression on just the people that I've been able to make an impression on in 31 years and $1 billion for those same people that I've been able to make an impression on, I'll let you, boy, man. I love y'all to death, and I did this for y'all. Period. That's just how I feel about it. Is that going to happen? No, this is a completely fucking, random, not a real thing scenario, but I'm just saying in that instance, like, that is what I want, point blank, period. My biggest goal in life, man, is to have a huge intramural field with soccer fields and football fields and basketball courts and tennis courts and you name it.
Fuck that, dude. You know how much grass that is to cut?
It's a whole lot, baby.
Oh,
whole lot.
You got to get me a damn tractor with some AC on it or something.
If I got enough money to buy all that for these kids, hell yeah. Because what I want to do is put all of the best coaches from around the country in here with all of the best equipment to give people and kids who don't have a shot, who might not ever know what their real talent is, a chance to learn from the best and do things that maybe they never could have done before. People in scenarios where they aren't, like, we didn't grow up with a whole lot, but my mom spent every damn dime she had to make sure that I made it to these football camps and these football so that I was as highly recruited as I was. A lot of families do not have that same resource or the same to even be able to sacrifice something to give that. Like, the sacrifice was, hey, you get to go out on the field and play football. Whatever else happens, happens. I'd love to give them a chance to do a little better because I know in my heart, I am a diehard fanatic of sports. I know that there is more talent walking around in these streets than there are on these football fields and basketball courts every day. And it's not because they don't want to be there. It's because they're in a situation where, hey, listen, I got to go sell some drugs and make some money for my family, or I can go play basketball and maybe I can make money in 10 years. You know what I mean? So that's always been real near and dear to my heart. And I know one thing, just like you said, that's a lot of grass, baby, to be cut. It's a lot of money. That shit is like something that is very cool for people. It's also millions of dollars a year to sustain and run something like that, period. So I can't be broke and do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. Like I've always wanted wealth because I want to take care of other people too. Like I've never been like greedy. Don't get me wrong. I want a big house and a nice car and a nice boat. I'm not saying that I don't, but I only want that if I can give other people the same exact thing that I have so that we can share the shit together. Because I'd rather split a cheeseburger with 10 people than have a steak to myself all alone with nothing else. That's just who I am as a person. You know, I like hanging out with people. I know you don't. You like hanging out with me enough, though.
Oh, no, dog. I'm just saying,
I think I'm enough for the both of us.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, bro. Like, I would want to have a yacht if I had nobody on it. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. That's all I mean.
But I ain't going to invite the motherfuckers on the beach. Be like, hey, come on. No, fuck y'all. Get your own goddamn yacht. But like my family and friends and shit. Yeah, absolutely.
And that, all I'm saying is I have so much. We have so much family. I have so many friends.
Oh, I guess I should preface that. Only the ones I like can get on the boat.
That's right. That's what I'm
saying. We'll get y'all a smaller, shittier boat for the rest of y'all, the communal boat.
You want to take a boat wild with a wheel pimp? Yeah. You know what, dude? We'll just buy a big-ass tube, and we'll put the people we don't like on the back.
Yeah.
And then we'll throw fish meat and shit in the water so we can get
chum it up for the sharks. Yeah.
Yeah, get it real nice and toasty.
Yeah, that'd be our first vlog. Be like, welcome to Shark Week, motherfuckers.
Welcome to Shark Week. Yeah, and then all the people on the boat can just shoot arrows at the tube.
That's fucked up.
That's pretty fucked up. Nah, but just like you said, man, seriously, like I don't want to have a yacht if I can't celebrate it with somebody. And just like you said, I'm not talking about anybody off the beach, but we have such a deep connection of people spread throughout this entire world. And man, that keeps growing. It grows every day. And the more awesome people I meet in life, the more people I would love to bring along this ride. And, you know, us all have great lives and great times together. However that may be. I'm not telling anybody that, you know, I want to leave you $1 billion so you ain't got to work. No, that's not what I mean. I want to leave you that money so that you can work on what you love. So that you can work on yourself. Because I'll tell you something, I haven't worked in the last 2 months, and I found out something. When I work on myself, I grow so much more as a positive human being who has better outlooks and ends up making more wealth for me and my family than ever before. There's something about it. I can't pinpoint what it is. Maybe it's that constant non-stress. I've lost 50 pounds in 40 days. Yeah, do I work out and eat less? I'm not saying that, but I think a lot of that has to do with stress. And I think when you spend so much of your life, because the American dream is to have all the money, and when you don't have all the money, you spend your whole life running for that money. That's what we think the American dream is. But the people who have all that fucking money, they actually get to go live the American dream, because the American dream is always being at the water and always going to the mountains and always, like, it's on to the next thing. You're still making money while you're doing that. But when you're so blinded in this rat race that we call life, it's hard for people to actually, you know, a lot of people have a whole life without ever living a day of it. Like, and I don't want that for my people, man. So, yeah, $1 billion and I leave today. But I leave y'all with $1 billion. I trust y'all enough. Point blank, period. I know you're...
I make bad financial decisions.
Well, I'm going to let your wife have that. Your portion of the money, and then y'all can spend it together. You know what I mean?
Don't give me $1 billion. Give me an allowance or something.
Like you know what I'm saying? Like a monthly.
Yeah. Give me a trust fund, baby, kind of thing. So
monthly, get 20 grand. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, tomato, tomato, man. But either way, like I said, I trust everybody who I would ever gift this money and shit to enough to know that my money's not going for their children to grow up and be crackheads. My money's going so that when they grow up, this will be more family oriented than ever before. And that same thing that we had 20 years ago when we all went to our family reunions with 400 people that we don't have today become a thing again, because people aren't stressed out and they'd rather spend time with their family than time at the office. Damn, that was deep. But I'll tell you this, guys. I love y'all. It has been another awesome fucking Tuesday. I hope y'all enjoy this episode. This is, I don't know what number this will be. We've been in here, though, full disclosure, 5-10 times, maybe.
50-11.
And I think it just feels like we're getting better. Things are running smoother. I'm having a good time. I think we're having some good conversations. We'll listen back to this and see. But I do believe not talking to your stupid ass for a week and then coming in here leaves where we can have some pretty good, we can get a little heated, and then we can go back into, oh, yeah, we're still cousins and love each other at the same time. And people might enjoy that shit. I hope you do, guys. Thank you so fucking much. Happy Tuesday. tell us all, man, we had 47 people on our first podcast that watched from like all around the United States. Thank y'all so much. Tell your friends, let's pop this thing up even more. We had like 47 downloads. Let's see if we can get 150 on this one, baby. And then we'll start carrying it up to like our first, you know, something, nothing major, like 1 million downloads or something like that. We're not trying to be crazy here, but we fucking love you guys. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. If you got any questions for me, it is LathHarlow@RelativeNonsense.com. You got any questions for my dog here, it is TristanHarlow@RelativeNonsense.com. You got any questions, please hit us up at SayWhat@RelativeNonsense.com. And other than that, baby, I can't wait to see you beautiful babies next Tuesday. Good night.